Hare Krishna Mataji, we cannot hear you anything. Hare Krishna.
I can hear better now.
Yes, Mataji, yes, yes.
This is clear. Okay. So there is some problem with the access story. I mean, there is no place. Just give me 1 minute because the recording may not be completed because you delete some files. So let me delete a couple of files and then we'll start. Okay. Thank you all so much for joining. Dandavat pranams to everyone on the call. And start off with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in our previous session, we saw about the meeting of Narada Muni with Lord Shiva. And Narada Muni, he saw Lord Shiva and he gave many, many reasons to Lord Shiva why he thinks that Lord Shiva is actually the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. And when Lord Shiva heard this, he began to explain with his own reasons why he has not really received any mercy from the Lord. And then Lord Shiva told Narada Muni that actually the residents of Vaikuntha, they are the real recipients of the Lord's mercy. So we stopped at that point. So we spent some time speaking the glories of Lord Shiva, speaking about the glories of Lord Shiva and his mood. We were trying to understand in our previous two sessions. So at the end of the conversation with Narada Muni, Lord Shiva said, actually, I have not received any mercy. If at all there is someone who's really, really the recipient of the Lord's mercy, it is actually the residents of Vaikuntha. They are very special. And then he begins to list out the glories of the residents of Vaikuntha. So that is what we will be seeing in today's class. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanatha Swaminit Ramne. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminit Ramne. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parshayate Deshikarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate tiram yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatharam. Hare Krishna. So now, Lord Shiva, he begins to explain why the residents of Vaikuntha are actually the greatest recipients of the Lord's mercy. So now Lord Shiva makes this suggestion that it is in fact the residents of Vaikuntha. And who is Narada Muni? Whom is he suggesting this idea to? He's suggesting to Narada Muni, who himself is a Vaikunthavasi, because he is an eternal associate of Lord Narayana. So Narada Muni shouldn't be surprised hearing this. But then Lord Shiva takes lot of pleasure in glorifying the residents of Vaikuntha. And he suggests to Narada Muni, don't you know, the residents of Vaikuntha are so wonderful. Now, he describes the qualifications of the residents of Vaikuntha like this. So Lord Shiva says, actually, the residents of Vaikuntha are very, very pure devotees. How are they very pure? Because they have given up all material things of the material world like a worthless thing, you know, worthless like straw. They don't even glance at these things. They have absolutely no respect for the most desirable achievements of this world. So in this world, what are the greatest achievements? A good job, a great salary, power, fame, beauty, riches, all these are actually great assets of this world. Not just this, even a person who sticks to very, very strong religious principles that is laid out in the Vedas a person who has attained mystic perfections practicing different siddhis, all of these are great opulences of this material world. But nothing of this world really impresses the residents of Vaikuntha. For them, all this material opulence that we see in this world is actually like garbage for their liberated souls in Vaikuntha. All that they are impressed about is devotion to Krishna. If someone has devotion to Krishna, they feel that is the greatest opulence that a person can have. Actually, as a matter of fact, material perfections follow a Vaishnava. So a karmi's opulence is destroyed over a period of time. But the opulence of a devotee is never destroyed. The opulence of Vaikunthavasis is never destroyed because they are pure devotees. A devotee becomes more and more and more opulent as he increases his devotional service to the Lord. And since Krishna is the source of all opulences, when one serves the source, he also automatically becomes very opulent. So opulent follows a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava doesn't take extra endeavor to achieve opulence. Rather, opulence follows the Vaishnavas. So these pure surrendered devotees in Vaikuntha, they have no pride. So they are completely bereft of false pride and they selflessly serve the Lord. So Lord Shiva was stating this and he was telling, look at them. They don't have any pride. And look at me. I am the source of false pride. So we were seeing how Lord Shiva is actually the source of the false ego that manifests in this universe. So Lord Shiva was, you know, rather criticizing himself, for which he doesn't deserve to be criticized, but that is his humility. So he was saying that I am the source of false ego. But look at the Vaikunthavasis, they're completely bereft of false pride. And where have these perfected beings gone? They have gone beyond the material world. They have gone beyond the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. They have gone to the spiritual world. They have gone to Vaikuntha. And there, these Vaikunthavasis, they all have beautiful Satchidananda bodies. Completely eternal, beautiful, completely filled with knowledge and bliss. That is the kind of body that the people in Vaikuntha actually have. And powers and opulences, everything is present with them. And not only that, they actually share the same space and the opulence with the Supreme Lord who's there in Vaikuntha. So Lord Narayan, he's so sweet that he shares everything that he has, including his own form. Not that he just shares his planet, not that he just shares his own opulences, not that he just shares all his, accessories. He shares everything, including his own form with his devotees. So just think about it. How gracious, how merciful is the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, he happily shares everything with him. He shares everything with the residents of Vaikuntha, so much so that he shares his own four-armed form with all his devotees. So then one may ask, what is it that differentiates Lord Narayan from the rest of the Vaikunthavasis? So actually, there are only two things, two identities that the Lord doesn't share with others. What are those two special identities? One is the Srivatsa mark that decorates his chest. Okay, so the Srivatsa mark is only seen on the Lord's chest. Only Vishnu has the Srivatsa mark. Why? Because that is the resting place of the goddess of fortune. And he alone is the husband of the goddess of fortune. So the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, always sits only on the chest of Narayana. So therefore, he alone holds the Srivatsa mark. And there's one more thing that he alone has, which the rest of the Vaikunthavasis don't hold. That is actually the Kaustubha jewel. And this Kaustubha jewel is so special. You know why only Krishna has the Kaustubha jewel? Because Kaustubha represents all the Jiva souls. He is actually the Lord of all the Jivas. All the Jivas are the property of the Lord, right? So therefore we see Jivera Swarupahoi Krishna Nityadas. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.11.10 explains this. The Kaustubha jewel that the Lord wears represents all the jiva souls. It represents the fact that we all belong to him. He is our only soul master. So these two things, the Lord has Srivatsa, he has Kaustubha. These two things he will not share with others, because that is the thing that makes him the Supreme Lord, very special, unique about the Supreme Lord. But he's so gracious that everything else, his forearm form, his bluish skin, his beauty, the opulence, everything he has, is ready to share with everybody else. So everyone looks exactly like the Lord. But still, there is Vaikuntha is full of variety simultaneously. The forms they have is eternal. It is not illusory forms. What is the form that we have in this material world? You know, it's made up of panchabhutas, right? Water, air, either fire. It's made up of these things. But in the spiritual world, these devotees, they have spiritual forms. And this spiritual form, that is seen in the material world. So be it the most beautiful woman, you know, Miss World, Miss Universe, or be it the Apsaras in the heavenly planets, or be it the Gandharvas, who looks so beautiful and so handsome, all this beauty and good looks is nothing in front of the beauty of the Vaikunthavasis. Actually, in one lecture, Radhanath Swami Maharaj, while speaking about the opulence of the residents of Vaikuntha, and when he was speaking about beauty, he was mentioning that in this world, beauty is a very relative thing. So, you know, for one person, woman or man may appear very beautiful or very attractive. For another person, this person may appear very, very average or very ugly. So beauty is a very relative thing. And there is this craze of attaining the perfect skin color in this material world. So he was saying that in this world, there are so many people, in the Western world especially, who are very fair-skinned. They are almost white. So they are not happy with the skin that they have. They want to become dark. They want to have a dusky colored skin. They love olive colored skin. So what do? They spend dollars and dollars trying to get a tanned skin. So in the summers, they expose their skin to the sun. And in other times, they sit in a room with a lamp, like an infrared lamp, that helps to tan their skin. And the other contrast, in India, there is this huge craze of being fair-skinned. No one likes to have dusky-colored skin or olive-colored skin. That is the natural color of Indians, but then no one likes to have it. So the market is filled with products like fairness creams, fairness face wash, bleach creams, fairness soaps, and whatnot. But Maharaj explains real beauty is actually seen in Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, everyone has bluish skin. So no one here can even imagine the beauty of blue-colored skin. Materialists are yet to figure out how to get beautiful blue skin. They have no clue. So actual beauty, everything is relative in this world. So Maharaj was explaining, you're talking about beauty in this world. Someone is fair-skinned, someone is dark-skinned. But real beauty is blue skin. Can you get blue skin here? You're not going to get blue skin here. So Vaikunthavasis, they are so beautiful. And not only are they so beautiful, they are also so strong. The Vaikunthavasis are extremely strong. Even without going to the gym, without lifting weights, you know, they are really, really strong. And they are so incredibly learned. They have the most precious jewels, all the opulence. In fact, just one jewel on their body is worth the treasure of this entire world. You know, that is the level of opulence that is seen in Vaikuntha. Yet, though they have all this, they are never, never proud. Because they are perfectly aware that all this is meant only to give pleasure to Krishna. It is not to give pleasure to myself. My beauty, my power, my wealth, my fame, my knowledge, everything is not for me, for my enjoyment. Rather, it is for Krishna. So they have this perfect understanding. Therefore, they have this consciousness. you know, where they understand everything here, everything that we are actually apparently possessing is only for the pleasure of the Lord. Therefore, because they have this consciousness, it is a place without anxiety. That's why the definition of Vaikuntha means without, Kuntha means anxiety. So Vaikuntha is a place without anxiety. When we want to use something for our own selfish desires, there is anxiety, there is enviousness, there is disharmoniousness. But Vaikuntha, in that atmosphere, the devotee thinks that every other devotee is better than me, and everything here is for the pleasure of the Lord. So that is Vaikuntha consciousness. So it is bereft of any envy or selfish desires. And all that they are doing is that they are so satisfied, they are so happy, they are so blissful just to worship the Lord. And that is the greatest satisfaction that they have. The external conditions really don't matter to them. They are always in the service of the Lord, and so they are eternally happy. It is not that the opulence that they have in Vaikuntha that is making them eternally happy. That is not the fact. It is actually their service to the Lord that is actually giving them the satisfaction and the happiness and making them eternally happy. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse.
Hare Krishna Matajis, I cannot hear. You all are facing the same thing?
Yes, Mataji, we can't hear.
Mataji, please wait. She will be connected again. Dhanwat. Lalitangi Mataji, Shyamagori Mataji, are you here? Can you please connect Priti Vilasini Gopi? Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Mataji, here.
Okay, this is good.
Yes, Mataji, before that 3 minutes not able to hear.
Okay, I will continue from there. So I was quoting this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, Verse 13, where Krishna says, one whose mind is completely satisfied in me, he finds only happiness wherever he goes. So as far as the residents of Vaikuntha are concerned, they are not happy because of the opulences that is present in Vaikuntha. Rather, they are deriving their happiness, they are deriving their satisfaction from the service that they are providing to the Lord. So it is the Lord that is making them happy all the time. So sometimes we also see that these eternal residents in Vaikuntha, they even travel and preach. They travel freely and they preach, trying to help others to become devotees. So Lord Shiva is having this feeling that maybe he is not made as many devotees as compared to the eternal residents in Vaikuntha. So sometimes devotees, you know, they don't hesitate to take birth in saintly families. Even eternal devotees of the Lord, they don't hesitate to come down and to take birth in saintly families for the sake of upliftment of all the conditioned souls. So they come and they preach the science of pure devotion, that is bereft of karma and jnana. And they also appear on this earthly plane just to protect devotees, like, you know, in the case of Ajamil, what happened? The four-armed formed associates of Lord Vishnu, of Lord Narayana, They actually came to protect Ajamil from the servants of Yamaraj. So the Vishnu Dutas came to help. So sometimes the eternal associates, they don't hesitate, to come take forms in this material world to take birth even in, you know, advanced families to help other devotees. And sometimes they just appear like that to, you know, help devotees like Ajamil to actually take to the path of devotional service. And some great souls like Narada Muni, they also appear on earth and they advance the cause of devotion. So we know from Srila Prabhupada himself has said that 2-3 times Narada Muni had come to his programs. So Narada Muni, he comes, he just appears so that devotees actually advance in Krishna consciousness. So they inspire others to take up devotional service, and they themselves, they are free from the restrictions of karma, and whatever effort they take in advancing other devotees, that never goes in vain. And these residents of Vaikuntha, they are totally amused by the idea of impersonal liberation. So that is a characteristic of pure devotional service. Those who are liberated in Vaikuntha, for them, this impersonal liberation is actually very, very low happiness. The happiness in impersonal liberation, Brahmananda, it's like water contained in a cat's hoof print, as compared to the happiness that one sees in Vaikuntha, which is like an immeasurable ocean. So Lord Shiva says that the residents of Vaikuntha, they are so happy, they are so blissful all the time. And for them, anything else other than residents in Vaikuntha is actually not great happiness. And what is the greatest pleasure that they have being in Vaikuntha? They can see the Lord next to them in person all the time. They get personal association. But however, he himself, Lord Shiva himself, doesn't see the Lord so frequently as the Vaikunthavasis get to see the Lord. So Lord Shiva is explaining his position. He's saying, see, the Vaikunthavasis, they are seeing the Lord next to him, next to them all the time. But I'm not so fortunate. I don't get to see the Lord all the time. Sometimes I'm even meditating on the Lord within my heart. But these residents of Vaikuntha, they don't even do that, you know, because they can literally see the Lord next to them all the time. In Vaikuntha, these residents of Vaikuntha, they assume different types of forms to serve the Lord. They don't hesitate to take forms of animals or birds or even food items for the Lord's enjoyment. So we see that in Vaikuntha, there is actually so much variety. You know, there are. It's not that Vaikuntha just has in Puram the Vishnu forms. No, there is actually so much variety. There are animals, there are plants, there are birds. There are so many things for the enjoyment of the Lord. So if the Lord wants to eat a rasagulla, a devotee takes the form of a rasagulla. The Lord enjoys him in his mouth, and the devotee is enjoying pleasure. It's like a fun ride for this devotee inside the mouth of Krishna. He's enjoying being chewed and rolled around. And then what happens after that? He just comes back into another rasagulla, again for the Lord to enjoy, because there is no waste matter in the spiritual world. So everything is animate in the spiritual world. The plants are animate, the flowers are animate, the animals are animate, everybody is animate, and everybody, all that they want to do is serve the Lord. So in Vaikuntha, there is so much variety. You'll find everything in the spiritual world. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam actually substantiates this. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in 3rd canto, verses 15 through 19, very, very beautiful verses. These verses describe the beauty of Vaikuntha. So there it is said that in the Vaikuntha planet, the inhabitants, they fly in their airplanes accompanied by their wives and consorts. So in the Vaikuntha also, we have wives. But this relationship of husband and wife is not for their personal enjoyment. Rather, their focus is on how am I going to give pleasure to the Lord. And what do they do there? They are eternally singing the character and the activities of the Lord. They sing the glories of the Lord, and when they are singing these beautiful glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blossoming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That means when they are singing the glories of the Lord, when they are giving pleasure to the Lord, and when there are fragrant malati flowers around them, they are not distracted by the smell for the sake of their own sense gratification. Rather, their consciousness is completely absorbed in the service of the Lord. They don't get distracted anything for their own sense enjoyment. Though Vaikuntha is full of fragrant flowers, these Vaikunthavasis don't think that this is for my enjoyment. That consciousness is not there. The next verse of that description says, when the king of bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravaka bird, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, the peacock. All these varieties of birds are there. But when the bees hum, they all remain silent. So they stop singing on their own. They stop because they want to encourage the bees to sing the glories of the Lord. So there is no competition. There is no envy. All that they are doing is they are trying to help each other in their services to the Lord, and they want to see how the Lord can get maximum happiness. So the next verse says, although flowering plants like the mandara, kunda, kurabaka, utpala, champaka, aruna, punnaga, nagakeshara, bakula, lily, and parijata are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by Tulasi. For Tulasi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulasi leaves. They're always meditating. Though there are so many flowers, hundreds and hundreds of fragrant flowers, all these flowers are completely capable of giving pleasure to the Lord. Yet, they are aware that Tulasi is the most important. She can give maximum happiness to the Lord. So that is Vaikuntha consciousness. Full of variety, yet so much respect for each other, so much love for fellow devotees. Oh, therefore, Lord Shiva says, they are the recipient of the real compassion of the Lord. In Vaikuntha, there is nothing other than pure devotional service. And this pure devotional service, without envy, without competition, without hatred, is performed with unimaginable enthusiasm. Everybody is 100% enthusiastic in performing their menial service to the Lord. So the bliss of Brahman, Brahmajyoti, this impersonal liberation, it does not compare with even half a drop of the bliss that is there in the Vaikunthavasis. So that world, that Vaikuntha, its residence and everything in it, they have been blessed by the Lord with pure love. And Lord Shiva feels that he cannot even describe the glories of Vaikuntha. Of the Vaikuntha, it is so, so, so glorious. Then Lord Shiva said, these surrendered devotees, not only when they are in Vaikuntha, they are actually considered worshipable, but even when these pure devotees come down and take material bodies and live within this material world, you know, to uplift other devotees, even at that time, they actually remain completely worshipable for Lord Shiva because they are always fully surrendered. They abandon everything, all this material wealth, material attachments, all this. If they are even ready to abandon their own life for the Lord, they have gone beyond the laws of material nature that apply for one who has taken birth in this world. Even though they might be thought to still have three deaths to the demigods, forefathers and sages, they never become fearful. This is what Lord Shiva is saying. He's saying then these eternal residents of Vaikuntha, they come here into this material world and they're preaching the science of devotional service and they're trying to uplift other devotees. Actually, though they have taken birth in this material world, it may appear that they have these three debts. What are the three debts that we owe? when we come to this material world, we have our debts to the demigods, to the forefathers, and to the sages. In spite of all this, we don't become fearful. So actually, from the day of one's birth, he is encumbered with three kinds of debt. One, to the demigods who provide the basic needs of life. So therefore, he performs sacrifices for demigods. This is something that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also. He talks about how rains are given by the demigods because of the sacrifices that is performed by humans. So therefore, to absolve the debt that we have towards demigods, we perform sacrifice. And then a human being has debt to his forefathers, from whom he is inheriting good culture. And how does he absolve this debt? He must absolve it by bearing offspring. He must have children. And hence, he is able to pay off his debt that he has towards his forefather. Then a human being is indebted to the sages who help him fulfill the spiritual potential that the human life has. So for that, he must study the Vedas. So like this, if a twice born does not liquidate these debts, he actually falls into hell. This is a statement. Actually, it's there in Srimad Bhagavatam also. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, 84, 39. But your devotees, they are immune from these reactions for neglecting these laws of material nature. And they don't fear any karmic reaction because nothing they do is sinful. And in the 11th canto, Krishna says this to Uddhava. He says in 11th canto, chapter 20, verse 9, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata mat katha shavanadavva shaddhayavanna jayate. As long as one is not satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. So after developing a real taste for devotional service, actually these three debts, they really don't matter to a person. A person who has really tasted devotional service by the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam will not worry about these things. He's not worried about how he's absolving these debts or whether he's going to hell. He's only worried about Krishna consciousness. Whereas Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Mahasya. They have complete faith in these words of Krishna. Whatever condition they are, they just desire to do devotional service to the Lord. So, they are so greedy for devotional service. They don't desire anything else. These people, these devotees who have come here in this world, they don't want anything else. For them, liberation, going to heaven, going to hell, taking impersonal liberation, everything else really, really, really don't matter. And Lord Shiva himself, he's echoing his own words actually at this point. He himself says this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 6th canto, when Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu, what is the statement that Lord Shiva said? 6th canto, chapter 17, verse 28. Lord Shiva said, Narayana parasarve na kutashchana bhibhyate swarga apavargan narakeshu api tulyartha dharshina. Devotees who are solely engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana, they never fear for any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planet, liberation, hellish planet, all this is the same. For such devotees, they are only interested in the service of the Lord. Doesn't matter where they are, as long as they can remain in devotional service, these devotees are always, always happy. So Lord Shiva has very high regard for the pure devotees of the Lord. He feels that they are as dear to him as the Supreme Lord is dear to him. See what Lord Shiva is saying. He's saying that these devotees are very dear to me, just like how Krishna is very dear to me. And the greatest ambition that Lord Shiva has, he declares, is to have the company of such pure devotees. So therefore, again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva has already mentioned this. He tells the Prachetas, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Verse 30, he says, Atha Bhagavata Yuyam Priyattha Bhagavan Yata Namad Bhagavatanam Cha Preyanantyo Asti Karhichit. You are all devotees of the Lord. And as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me and I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. So Lord Shiva, there he says, the devotees are very dear to me, the devotees of the Lord are very dear to me, and I am also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. All that I want is, I want to be in the association of these devotees. Actually, for this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, where Lord Shiva is preaching to the Prachetas, Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport. It gives us so many clarifications about the position of Lord Shiva, about how Vaishnavas treat Lord Shiva, how Shiva treats the Vaishnavas. It's a very beautiful purport. I just wanted to read this purport because it's so packed with information. It is so packed with the mood of Lord Shiva, how Lord Shiva sees devotees and how the Vaishnavas actually keep Lord Shiva on such a high pedestal and worship him as the greatest of Vaishnavas. So it is said, I will read this purport of Srila Prabhupada. It is said, Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees. Therefore, all devotees of Lord Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. In Vrindavan, there is Lord Shiva's temple called as Gopeshwara. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva, but Katyayani or Durga as well. But their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna and he does not request material profit. In Bhagavad Gita 7:20, it is said that generally people worship demigods for the sake of material profit. Driven by material lust, he worship demigods. But a devotee never does that. For he is never driven by material lust. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for him. The asuras worship Lord Shiva, he takes some benediction from him, he misuses the benediction, and ultimately he is killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards him also liberation. So like this, there is a huge respect for the position of Lord Shiva, and Shiva also, very greatly, he loves the devotees of the Lord, he respects Vaishnava so much. Now, because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Supreme Lord, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Shiva told the Prachetas that because they were devotees of the Supreme Lord, he loved them very much. So Lord Shiva was not kind and merciful only to the Prachetas. Anyone who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to Lord Shiva. Not only are the devotees dear to Lord Shiva, but he also respects them as much as he respects the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna, they also worship Lord Shiva as the most dear devotee of Krishna. They do not worship him as a separate personality of Godhead. They don't worship him as being independent of Krishna, but they see him in relation with Krishna. So it is actually stated in the list of the Nama Paradas that it is an offense to think that the chanting of the name of Hari and the chanting of the name of Hara or Shiva are one and the same. The devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Lord and Shiva is his devotee. That is the mode. A devotee should be offered respect on the level of the Supreme Lord and sometimes given even more respect because he is so worshipable. A Vaishnava is more worshipable than the Lord himself. That is fine. But they must do it with the correct understanding. Indeed, even Lord Ram, the personality of Godhead himself, it is said, sometimes worship Lord Shiva. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? That is the conclusion, Prabhupada says. From this verse, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asuras simply for the sake of formality. Actually, he loves one who is devoted to the Supreme Lord. Very beautiful purpose by Srila Prabhupada. He says about the unique position of Lord Shiva and how Lord Shiva is so worshipable. In fact, sometimes he becomes more worshipable than even Krishna himself. Why? Because the devotees are more worshipable than Krishna. In that relation, yes, sometimes even Lord Shiva becomes more worshipable. So, it's a very beautiful purpose. Prabhupada clarifies a lot of things there. Then, coming back to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then as Lord Shiva continued to sing the glories of these wonderful devotees of both Vaikuntha and these devotees when they come to the material world, Lord Shiva said, actually, wherever these devotees are present, that is Vaikuntha. Even when they come down to this material world, they bring Vaikuntha with them. They create Vaikuntha around them. A devotee manifests Vaikuntha wherever he is present. Even in this case, they forget their material bodies. When they are here in this material world, what happens? They actually forget their own material bodies. Though they don't have these spiritual Sachidananda bodies that are seen in the spiritual world, they, when they come to this material world, they take on the role of a regular human being. They never think on the bodily platform during their entire lifetime. They never think on a bodily platform. They are not attached to the body. They seem always very, very detached from this bodily conception. Sometimes we even see that these devotees, they can even attain that Sachit Ananda body, just like how Dhruva Maharaj actually attained a Sachidananda body before he got onto the Vaikuntha airplane. What happened to Dhruva Maharaj? Dhruva Maharaj, before he got onto the Vaikuntha airplane and went to Vaikuntha, actually before getting aboard, Dhruva Maharaj, he worshipped the airplane, he circumambulated it, he offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu, and in the meantime, while he was still here, he became as brilliant and as illuminating as molten gold. He took on a very, very beautiful molten gold, shining body. He was completely prepared to board this transcendental plane by taking on this wonderful illuminated body. So, just like by drinking some tonic, in this world, what are these things? We have these keratin tablets. That is something that is picking up these days. Age-defying creams, all these new things in the market to make you look beautiful. Hair transplantation to cure receding hairline. All this is there to achieve the perfect, beautiful body. In fact, they have all these different kinds of plastic surgery, and they have liposuction, that and this. Everyone wants to have the most beautiful body. They don't want to age, right? So all this is there in this material world. But what is all this? It is all nothing as compared to the attractive form that one can attain simply by constantly drinking the most wonderful tonic of Bhakti Rasa. When one drinks this age-defying tonic, he becomes most beautiful. So if you see very advanced devotees, like our own Guru Varga, you can notice their beaming effulgence. Even in that very old age, all of them are, almost 70 plus, and they travel all over the world. They never get to sleep in one place for more than 3 days. They are traveling in different time zones. Yet, they appear so blissful. They are radiating so much energy. They are always very happy. That is because they are saturated. They are taking this tonic every day. What is that special tonic of their power? It is the tonic of Bhakti Rasa. Even in today's morning class, Prabhuji was mentioning about how Srila Prabhupada appeared so beautiful when he was chanting alone in Thompson Square Park. And just seeing him, people got attracted just by seeing him. How is it possible? It is possible because his inner beauty was radiating. And how did he get so much beauty? How did he become so attractive? It is because his devotees are constantly taking this very special tonic of Bhakti Rasa. Their whole experience of life is nothing less than what the Vaikunthavasis experience in the Vaikuntha planets. That is the state of the liberated beings, even in this world, liberated devotees who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord, just like Srila Prabhupada. However, Lord Shiva says, yes, both of them are equally worshipable. Lord Shiva says that the eternal residents in Vaikuntha who are constantly having the association of the Lord, they are very, very worshipable. Similarly, those associates, sometimes they get very merciful and they decide to take forms on the earthly realm and they come here. Even when they are here, they are equally worshipable. However, he says, the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they have something extra. They have the personal company of the Lord all the time. So therefore, they prefer to live there. So Vaikuntha, no anxiety. So they are very happy there. They are eternal associates. So many Nitya Siddhas are there. They never leave the company of the Lord. They never leave the company of the Lord. There are some devotees like that. So these Vaikunthavasis, always with the Lord, they are actually the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So he just finishes talking like this about the glories of the residents of Vaikuntha at that time. I just want to take a few more minutes today because I really love this part, so I really want to do this and then we'll stop. So at that time, when he just finished speaking about the glories of the residents of Vaikuntha, at that time, Parvati, she was standing next to Lord Shiva. She looked at Lord Shiva and she was thinking, Lord Shiva is glorifying the residents of Vaikuntha so wonderfully, but he's forgetting someone. Then Parvati suggested, Lakshmi, Lakshmi Devi, she is the topmost of the residents, of all the residents in Vaikuntha. So, now as Lord Shiva glorified the residents of Vaikuntha, Parvati was hearing all this. And Parvati, who is the partial expansion of Lakshmi, she hears so much glorification of Vaikuntha without the mention of Goddess Shri, she became very disturbed. So now she suggested, she stopped Lord Shiva and she said, wait, listen, you know, it's actually Lakshmi Devi who has received the most mercy than any other residents in the Vaikuntha planet. Why? Because Lakshmi Devi, she is the ruling goddess of Vaikuntha. She is Haripriya, that is the name she has. She is the most beloved. She is the consort of Lord Hari. Her mercy simply expands wherever she casts her sidelong glance. Just by her sidelong glance, all the rulers of all the planets, all the demigods, they all just get their powers. They get knowledge, they get detachment, and they even get devotion. It is just by her Kripa Kataksha, just her sidelong glance. In the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, actually it is accepted that without Lakshmi's sidelong glance, one doesn't even attain the favor of Lord Narayan. Actually, a spirit soul attains the gift of devotional service to the Lord, Lord Narayan and Dasirasa, only by the mercy of Goddess Lakshmi. And she is the one who recommends liberation for a soul. Liberation recommendation letter is carried by Lakshmi Devi to Narayan. If Lakshmi Devi doesn't carry a recommendation letter, a person cannot attain Lord Narayan. So the Alvars and many Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, they glorify her position so much so that even the Lord is actually not considered as merciful as Goddess Lakshmi Devi. The Lord tends to see faults in his devotees. He is not so compassionate. But Goddess Lakshmi Devi, she is so merciful that in spite of millions and millions of faults in a devotee, she always has this mood of recommending to the Lord that these devotees are his children and he must not see any faults in them. just like a very merciful mother. A mother is actually very blinded by the love for a child. She never sees faults. Actually, when, you know, especially as the child grows, you know, a mother, everyone can see mistakes in her child, but she will never see mistakes in a child. Why? Because she is blinded with love for her child. So therefore, in many South Indian temples, you know, you might have people who are from South may be aware of this this tradition. There is something called a special sevas or special darshans. So even if you go to Tirupati, which is actually a very popular temple, you can get some special seva tickets. So where the Lord actually gives darshan in different forms, in different styles, in different attires, in different moods. So usually this happens with the Utsav deity. Like that, in almost all the South Indian temples, you will have special sevas, you know, special Utsavs or special festivities, you can say, for the Utsav deity. So the Utsav deity will come in a palanquin and he'll give darshan to everyone. And every day he'll have a new get-up. He'll look different every time. And, you know, there is some special puja that happens to him. So like that, in Srirangam also, there are many festive forms of worship of the Lord. So sometimes the Utsav deity of Lord Ranganath is actually dressed up in the form of a very nice woman. He wears this woman dress. Actually, he tries to dress up like Goddess Lakshmi. He tries to look like Goddess Lakshmi. So the Utsav deity is dressed very nicely. He looks almost exactly dressed up like Goddess Lakshmi. In fact, he looks so enchanting that he may even appear to look even more beautiful than Goddess Lakshmi. Okay, because he is the Shaktiman, right? And she is the Shakti. So he sometimes appears to look even more beautiful than her. So in this world, if a man puts on a lady get-up, it's going to look very odd. It will look very horrible. But then the Lord, he's the source of all beauty. So sometimes he likes to dress up like a woman and he likes to take on the dress of Goddess Lakshmi. So starting from the hair, he's dressed up very perfectly like a beautiful young woman. His hair flows like a braided river. It is beautified with nice head ornaments and flowers. He wears dangling, swaying earrings in his ears. He's decorated with a beautiful nose ring. And his entire face looks very stunning and, in fact, even hypnotic, you know, to keep looking at. His lips are decorated with a nice red color. They are shining. They look like a rose that is wet with moisture. His neck is embraced by a beautiful diamond choker. He's dressed with valuable jewels and a very nice silk sari. And he's made to look exactly like the Goddess of Fortune. And the Lord, he enjoys this makeup so much. He loves putting on this attire. So with a lot of pride, he holds on his right hand a parrot that is made out of rubies with a green emerald nose. And this parrot actually plays a very big role as a messenger and as his confidant. So as the Lord comes out like this in his attire to give darshan to the devotees on the street, the Lord looks at this bird in his hand and he asks this parrot, "So, am I looking beautiful?" And the parrot responds, "Yes, of course you are. You're so beautiful. Who can match the source of all beauty? You're the most beautiful." And this parrot is also his messenger. And the parrot is talking to Ranganath and he's informing him about all the devotees who have come to see him. And the fingers of the Lord are like that of a newborn baby. It is very soft, very supple, nicely adorned with beautiful bangles. His waist is very delicate, like the most delicate woman, like a young girl, you know, very thin waist, broad hips. It is encircled with a nice waist ornament. His feet looks very soft, just like a new baby girl. It's so beautiful. Everything is so beautiful. He looks exactly like his consort, Lakshmi Devi. And he loves being dressed up like that. And he comes like that, gliding down like a swan as his devotees carry him on their palanquin. So when he's coming like that, once it so happened that there was a devotee by the name Parasara Bhatta. So this Parasara Bhatta is the son of Kuresh. Oh, most of you know who Kuresh is. Kuresh is one of the prime chief disciples of Sripad Ramanujacharya. So his son, he became the leader of the Sri Sampradaya after Sripad Ramanujacharya. And his name is Parasara Bhatta. So this Parasara Bhatta, one day like this, when the special festival was happening and the Lord was coming out like this, wearing the attire of Goddess Lakshmi, and he was carried by his dear devotees to give darshan to everyone on the street, the Lord, with great vanity and so much pride, he asked Parasara Bhatta, "So, how do I look? How do I look today?" And at that time, it is said that Parasara Bhatta, he replied, he said, "Oh Lord, you look like a lovely young lady. You are dressed up so well that your dressing can put everyone else to shame. You're the most beautiful. But please forgive me, Lord. The kindness and mercy that is evident in my mother Lakshmi's eyes are actually missing in your eyes. Your eyes reveal that you are not our mother, but you're actually the Supreme Lord. This is the truth, because no matter how stunning and how mesmerizing the Lord is, he's still the King of the Kings. That is there underneath it all. You know, this awesome power cannot be contained by his eyes. Sri Devi or Lakshmi, in her eyes, there is so much mercy of that of a mother. That mercy is missing in your eyes." So we can see how merciful Goddess Lakshmi Devi is. Then, Sanatana Goswami, he explains in that particular verse that he's talking about the mercy that is there in the eyes of Goddess Lakshmi. He says that even the demigods actually develop the desire for liberation by the mercy of Lakshmi Devi. Therefore, Durvasa Muni tells in Vishnu Purana, Sanatana Goswami quotes Vishnu Purana. He says, 1929 in Vishnu Purana, "Where there is patience, there is opulence. Opulence immediately arises. And patience also follows opulence. But how can those not favored by Goddess Sri, Goddess Lakshmi, have any patience? And without that patience, how can they even try to have good qualities?" Durvasa Muni says, "Oh resplendent goddess, you personify mystic knowledge of sacrifice, of material nature, secrets of devotional service, and of perfection of the soul. You are the giver of ultimate liberation. What is that ultimate liberation that she is capable of giving? She is capable of giving pure devotional service. That is ruled by you. And you are the consort of the Supreme Lord. And a fortunate soul attains the Lord only when you recommend that soul to the Lord." This is recorded in the Vishnu Purana. So this goddess Lakshmi, she is the eternal beloved of the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayana. And she doesn't have to worship Narayana to achieve him. But what she does, when she takes her expansions, when she descends down in this world, sometimes she willingly performs austerities to attain the Lord. Just like how when she came as the daughter of Bhrigu, she celebrated as Bhargavi. At that time, she performed great austerities to attain the Lord as her husband. She willingly takes up austerities to be united with Lord Narayan. She never takes up, you know, minds taking up any inconvenience for the sake of the Lord. And she is the most perfect chaste wife that forever stays with him in all his incarnations. She always stays on the chest of the Lord. She goes with the Lord. Wherever he goes, Lakshmi goes. Her expansion in this world is actually, her expansion is actually Chanchala, that is there in this world, that is for people who are after wealth. But originally, in her original position, Lakshmi is very steady. She is very steady in her devotion to the Lord. She gives pure devotion. That is her mood. That is her original mood. But when she expands in this material world, when people are after wealth, yes, she is called as Chanchala. She doesn't have one master. But otherwise, she always goes with the Lord wherever he descends. Again, Vishnu Purana 1.9, 142, 145, Sanatana Goswami explains, when she appears as a When the Lord appears as a demigod, Lakshmi Devi appears as a demigoddess. When the Lord appears as a human, she also becomes a human woman. When he accepts the whatever kind of body the Lord accepts for himself, she correspondingly accepts that body which Vishnu assumes. Basically, wherever the Lord goes, in whichever bodily form he wants to take, Lakshmi Devi will go with him. So Narada Muni became so overwhelmed hearing this. He became ecstatic. He began to glorify Lakshmi. He said, all glories to you. All glories to the husband of Kamala Devi, Lakshmi Devi. All glories to the Lord of Vaikuntha. So he began to sing again and again the glories of Lakshmi Devi. He was so ecstatic. He began to sing the glories of all the residents of the Vaikuntha planet. And as he was about to leave to Vaikuntha, Lord Shiva held his hand and stopped him. So we'll see what happened after that. Did he really go to Vaikuntha or was he redirected elsewhere? That is for the next part of the session. So sorry, today I had to go a little long. I wanted to finish Vaikuntha. So if anyone has any questions, comments, corrections, additions, please go ahead.
Very, very beautiful, Mataji. Very, very wonderful explanations and expansions of this and description. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Komodaki Mataji. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for always being there for us.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very beautiful class. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Priti Vilasini Gopi Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam Shri Prabhupada Gurudev Ki Jai. How wonderfully you explain the Leelas, and especially when the Vardharaj is in a Shri Tirupati Balaji. Vardharaj is telling that, how wonderful I am looking. Vishnu is saying, Lord Vishnu is asking and proud. That time, explain my Vardharaj that you are not become a Lakshmi Devi. The purity, the mercy is coming from Lakshmi Devi's eyes. So it's just too hard, Mataji. And how nicely you explain all the Leelas, Mataji. Dandvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Hari Hari.
Thank you so much, Randa Gopika, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you for the kind words.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Beautiful class, Priti Vilasini Mataji, very beautiful. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Palika Mataji. Thank you for your association. Okay, so if no one else has any questions or comments, we can end the call. Thank you all so much for joining. वाञ्छाकल्पतरूपेश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. अनन्तकोटिवैष्णवरन्दकी जयश्रीप्रभुपादकी जय. श्री श्री बृहद्भागवतामृता की जय. श्री सनातन गोस्वामी की जय. ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज. हरे कृष्ण. अनंतकोटिवैष्णवृंद की जय. हरे कृष्ण.